Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 107 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Hello.
We're back with the What We're Playing show.
We are. It's been a fortnight and we're going to tell you what we've been doing.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, you can turn off if you like. That's all
please
right.
Please turn. No, if you turn off, we disappear.
We disappear.
We're only
absolutely
here when you listen.
That's right, you can.
It is, isn't it?
One of our listeners is responsible for us being here at all.
Well, I'm listening
to
you.
We need to work out who.
And you're listening to me.
Anyway, I've been playing Lord of the Rings online.
Have you?
Yes, we've been doing... I don't know, it's all changed a little bit, hasn't it? It's there's this sort of light at the end of the tunnel in the shape of another game.
Any game.
Any game, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's all... Because last we heard, there was this fantastic, huge, free-to-play forever sort of announcement for Lotro, which means we can never really quit, but we'd quite like a bit of a break, I think.
We need to look at new things.
We need to try something
else. It's not us, it's you.
Absolutely. Yes. But I mean, Ed was quite keen on, and I agree with, getting Volume 2 finished, or up to the end of the stuff we've actually gotten paid for, at least. So, because I think throughout our time there, the overriding epic storyline has been pretty much a reason to play, a reason to keep moving forward. It's been signposting's been there, and we've been trying to follow this long story and trail, despite various interesting design decisions along the way, to some sort of little Lord of the Rings of our own. You know, that's part of the lure of the world, is to be part of that big, great, grand story and so on. I think we're going to focus on getting this volume 2 Moria story thread sorted out and to the end and to a satisfactory conclusion, I think, is the big goal. So we did the grand stairs immediately as soon as we logged in.
Yep.
As ever.
Got to get that gear we're not going to use. No, we've got a couple more to do.
Right. I mean, I looked at considering we're not actually going to bother with Radiance, because we're not going to use Radiance for what it's needed for the Watcher raid thing itself. I was looking at the shoulders and the head that you get with these tokens, and it's not as good as the stuff I was already got, the purple ones, the previous set for twos and threes.
Well,
stat-wise, it's got more radiance. I don't know, but and also they don't look as cool either. So, I think I'm pretty much done with the Moria medallions now. But I'll run the grand stairs for you guys as well. That's fine. Tanking our way through it. It's getting very casual and sloppy in there. We typically charge through there nattering about how our day's gone, not even paying any attention to the layout of the monsters, and somehow managed to make it through to the very end.
Grand Stair does offer a certain way of ease in, so we don't completely screw up here.
Yeah, I mean, the Grand Stairs itself is significantly easier, I suppose, than all the other Moria token run instances as well, so clearly it's the getting started point of it all.
I think so, yeah.
That's where you start working on your gearing up and you start working on practicing miniature raid boss encounters. There's a couple in there you have to work at and do special things for. Talked about it lots before. Dragging you up to speed with the rest of the group,
because
you routinely forget to do your homework or refuse to, one of the two. So you've now done you've killed a Watcher as well.
I've killed a Watcher.
Excellent.
It was really disappointing the way it just disappeared around. Poof!
You knock it down and then gone. Yeah. You'd expect a large bloody corpse floating in the thing. No, because it escapes. That's why you have to kill it again as part of the raid.
Stupid.
That's the story.
Can we put a net down first?
Yeah, just poison the water. That'd be all right.
Yeah.
No one's drinking. Real dwarves don't drink water anyway, so.
Come out electricity.
Oh, yeah. Drop a bar heater in there. Yeah. Sort it out. Yeah. So future nights in there, I think we're just going to keep cracking on with Volume 2, see how far we can get. We've got various different parts of it to pick up and continue with. I mean, there's a section that we're on at the moment which runs from I think Book 1 through to about Book 6 or 7, which basically covers the Moria stuff, and then it picks up again in Lothlorien, which some people may have done bits of, which we need to synchronise and push through to the end. It sends you back into Moria again for a lot of that, as far as I can tell. But lots of group stuff coming up, apparently.
Oh, great.
Well, I hope so, because that's, you know, try and salvage some group coherence and group adventures from this rapidly solo disintegrating epic story. So that's all good. I did a little bit more skirmishing on my off nights. I haven't really been in there much at all, apart from...
Neither have I.
No, just the Mondays for me.
I may not have done my homework this week, whatever it was. I can't remember, wasn't paying attention in the first place.
That's all right. We're just going to stand there disapprovingly and follow you through the dungeon while you go and do it on your own on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, so there we go. It is a lot quicker doing it six up, even if it is solo stuff, though.
Especially as I keep dying to...
You're a very good healer in a group. Perhaps you've overspecced yourself for group gameplay.
I have. I've no solo ability.
I have a lot of trouble with my guardian doing any kind of damage as well, but as part of the team, it all seems to work well. So that's all right. We've got APB coming up then, isn't it? Which is, I suppose, that's what we've more or less agreed on was going to be the next thing we're going to have a go at with our Monday group. And quite a lot of interest on the vanhemlock.com website forum there. It seems to be quite a lot of people interested in joining up, which is going to be a problem because it's a four-person group game.
Yep. So and it's not an MMO.
Expect there to be a lot of chopping and changing between groups on those designated nights and so on. We're starting a guild. There'll be more details going on the vanhemlock.com forum there.
I wouldn't get too attached to that.
We'll come to what you think of it in a minute, in your turn. Let's see, Guild Wars. I don't know. I got a bit despondent PvP this week. I don't know. Guild Wars starting to drag a bit, but I think we'll keep going in there for the time being. It's going to be It's very much waiting for Guild Wars 2 in there for us at the moment. We had a very hard work PvP match with the new Mesmer skills going on this week. Torag mesmering it up on the opposition team, and it's just such hard work. I rarely face Mesmers in PvP because they're quite an underplayed class generally in our guild and generally. But in PvP, they're absolutely nightmarish. And it was such hard work. We ended up on the tiebreak, yeah. Our team lost, of course, but only because they managed to tag our guild lord with some damage and we didn't. It was backwards and forwards, a lot of push, and just trying to fight your way through all these mesmer hexes coming at you from all over the place, and there's some very solid healing on the enemy team as well, so trying to really had to focus and work hard to get any kind of headway at all in our match there, which suggests that we're quite fairly balanced as well. It's reasonably arbitrarily assigned teams, which suggests we're all getting reasonably good at it. I don't know why there isn't the will to take it onto the proper PvP stage.
Because everyone's better than you.
I don't know.
These are the people who play it 24/7, do not sleep, do not eat, do not have jobs, do not have school.
I think you have a diminishing returns versus fun type of thing going on there. Yeah, you can put so much effort in and you'll get more fun out, but eventually you put lots of effort in and only get a small extra amount of fun out, on a sort of curvy graph. And to get anywhere in the sort of top end Guild Wars PvP in this, at this late stage in the game's life, it's just going to take a phenomenal amount of dedication and effort. And I've got other games I want to play, frankly.
Yeah.
Guild Wars is pretty much only a once a week thing for me, and mostly a thing of habit. I've been playing it for a long time, and I might as well keep going until Guild Wars 2 comes along. So, that's pretty much where we're at with that. We got a couple of new people keep showing up, though. We got Sunk Zero and Geddon's there, who both recently joined us, and we're sort of helping them work through their story campaigns on the PvE nights, and it's nice to be revisiting old content, having a reason to see this stuff again and work through it. It's all good fun. And it's very much like the Grand Stairs, we just play very casually and in a sort of busy chatting about other stuff as we work through the zones type of footing. It's very social indeed, and not terribly focused, hardcore, must concentrate on the game to the exclusion of everything else type gameplay. And I'm really enjoying that style of gameplay in all my MMOs these days, to be honest. Let's see, there's EVE Online. Oh, yes. We got... sorry, am I distracting
you? No,
is he surfing away there? I can't. We've been doing a lot of wormhole stuff in our small, gradually growing Wednesday fleet there. Got all sorts of people joining in our little chat channel that we set up there. It's all a bit it's all a bit strange. See, we're basically functioning as a sort of corporation in all but name. You know, we share the jobs. We all go off into naught together, despite you know a lot of people not really having met each other that much before. And there's a huge amount of trust there that I'm sure is going to evaporate one day when someone decides to suddenly turn on everyone else.
That's how little faith you have in the average employee.
I know. Oh, I don't know. We just seem to have lucked out and. Typically have a fleet of very good people hanging out on the Wednesdays these days. So yeah, we've got about five or six of us typically on an excursion. I think Wormholes is where it's at. That seems to be good pace for us in our fleet of mostly battle cruisers and cruisers, grade ships. You know, we don't really want to get too involved in large scale battleship stuff. And to be honest, a battleship is overkill for pretty much anything in that game. Well, now, if you can fly a battle cruiser that well, in terms of cost efficiency, you're basically having to spend a lot less money to get broadly the same kind of job done. But we keep turning up about 100 million a week on site loot, salvaged bits off of the sleepers and sleeper drops. It's all good stuff.
And how much did you get from that NPC cargo ship?
The first week we had an unexpected bonus payout where well, wormhole sites are 0.0, they're not safe space. So you go in there, you do your thing, and you keep an eye over your shoulder. And that's all right. But as you're fighting through the sites, the amount of loot on board builds up. So it pays to regularly go back to normal space and drop it all off. Otherwise, you're just going to get ganked and have the whole lot disappear at the end of the night or whatever. So I was taking some of the loot back, and Nate was taking some of the rest of the loot back, and we were taking it off to safe space, just to a common station to drop it off and then head back to the fight. And on chat, I hear all sorts of garbled stuff about an industrial showing up at the rest of our fleet were inside the wormhole system, just inside the gate back to safe space, waiting around for us to come back before we went off to do the next site. And apparently an Iteron 5 jumped through on its own, no scout, and just sort of sat there a bit, looked a bit panicked. And I think, to be honest, from what it sounds like, he was just hoping that if he didn't touch anything or move, perhaps it would seem like he wasn't there. some of our more bloodthirsty members decided, yeah, all right, let's jump on it.
Fair game.
Yeah. There are various schools of thought on that. Either I'm an internet bully,
Or it's a valuable lesson in the correct support needed to transport goods through dangerous space.
Well, yeah, there are means and ways and savvy techniques to do what he was doing, which as far as I can tell was to be attempting to set up a POS in somewhere deep in wormholes. But our gang of pirate reprobates jumped on him and... I think we got a large Amar control tower and a Brutix BPO.
Ooh.
Blueprint original, yeah. So for our trouble, he went down, he like just melted. He didn't even have a tank on there. There was no stabilizers.
There's
nothing.
Not a lot you can do, really.
Literally nothing fitted on this Iteron, and he just decided to stick half a billion's worth of stuff in the hold and then fly through 0.0 space effectively. So, I think I would feel bad, but there's a definite element of he deserved what he got, to be honest. He should have thought things through a little. If you are doing that kind of thing, you want to send, just either go through yourself in a shuttle or a small frigate first, just see if there's anyone in the target system waiting around the gate.
Yeah.
And bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the take was considerably higher that night. We got about 100 million from blue stuff, which is basically what the sleepers drop. The various components for Tech 3 manufacture and research and so on, and also about half a billion of unexpected extra goodies from the industrial. Well, yeah, and there the story should have ended, but in a startling twist of karmic fate, later in the week managed to get his own ship blown up by a suicide ganker in HiSec, and lost us the large control tower.
Easy come, easy go.
Well, yeah, he was quite worried about reporting this to us all, all sorts of cryptic tweets that I was going to be cross or whatever. But no, very much it came from nothing, it went to nothing. But we still got the blueprint, so we still. We're going to sell that, and we're going to use that as the starting point of a ship replacement fund.
Oh,
yes, yeah, so we're going to keep a small kitty of cash put aside, and I think we're going to start charging 10% tax on our future wormhole operations, and just keep shoving it in this pile of money. And anyone who gets ganked or blown up, can have a new ship with it.
It's not a bad idea.
It's, well, it's, this is all stuff that a corporation is absolutely designed to support, but for various reasons, we're all in different corps and aren't easily disposed to abandon those ties and just join up for a once-a-week jaunt into wormhole space. So we're trying something quite, I don't know, quite difficult and free-form in our organisation, and it does all hinge on trust and knowing each other from other games or from internet reputation on other blogs and podcasts or Twitter or whatever. I mean, one of us will one day turn around and sell out all the others, and
will it be you?
I hope it's me. It's going to fall apart, but we'll see how it goes. And to be honest, it's not really, I mean, I don't really need the money we're earning, you know. I mean, I've got, so, I don't know, about 800 million sat there in my account at the moment, spare. And no real anything I want to buy or save up for. Although that's changed, because now we're doing these big fleet ops and stuff. I've become quite interested in leadership and logistics, because I'm typically in an Osprey doing the shield transfer stuff, or the Myrmidon, again, with an entire high slot rack of utility mods.
Oh, so you don't actually have to do anything?
Transfer system, no, I do stuff, yeah. I'm reinforcing the tanks of people. Then the sleepers, especially in Class 3 wormholes, which we're on at the moment, they tend to hit pretty damn hard, and especially the turrets. And I think, I like to think, without me helping to reinforce with the transfer systems, whoever is being hit wouldn't survive. So we are doing, I'm doing good and helpful, useful jobs. I've got a probe launcher as well, in case we end up with the, what we're starting to refer to as the Voyager scenario. I secretly hope it happens to us one week. That'll make for an awesome anecdote where we have to spend the next 8 weeks trying to plot a path back to high-sec space via various wormholes, because it closes behind you.
Magically, at the end of each season, you get back 10,000 light-years closer. Always 10,000 at the end of each season.
Yeah, we'll get to the end of the series and then discover some magical alien technology that will just take us straight home again. Yeah. Yeah, I've been looking at planet interaction. Have you?
Yes, I have indeed.
Yes, what do you think?
I think
know you want to start calling Farmville on it.
God, isn't it? No, really. Okay,
I've actually been logging into Eve other times than the Wednesday night,
but
just to try and play
with it.
It uses
that mechanic of, this is what I'm going to grow because I have this amount of time.
It's
the Farmville mechanic.
Okay, so what you do is you survey a planet, and planets come in one of eight different types. You buy appropriate command center for it off of the market, deploy it on the planet, and that then becomes effectively, if you consider a planet to be your planetary network to be a ship, that then is your CPU and power core. You can then attach various mines and factories to it, which will extract certain materials from this planet, combine them into other materials, and then combine those materials into other materials.
Yep, I set up the most basic I could, because I only wanted to spend a couple of thousand, see what it was like, to get a hang of it before I actually did anything on my skills were training up. So I put down a command center on a planet. I then put down an extractor, routed it into the command center, and routed out the command center into a processor, which turns it into something else.
Yeah,
and it's
hooray! You're interacting with the planet,
and it's ticking away as we speak.
Yeah,
and
offline resource mining,
and is gathering stuff which, through a complex procedure of different processes, I can build up to be bigger and bigger things to make it into pause fuel or tech two components, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. There's quite an elaborate resource chain that's gone in with it all. Apparently, the bug of the deployment this time is that they, Vorek was talking me through some of this, and apparently you can buy a lot of the raw materials off of the market still, and just ship them to the planet, combine them for huge profits,
okay,
sell the stuff back off. Apparently they're going to take those out of the market within a few weeks, and so it will all become an entirely freestanding thing.
I think it's actually helped my corp, because we can now run our pods in 0.0 off of items which we're mining in system.
You can't get ice.
No, we still have
to
ice mine.
You still have to ice mine, but you don't need NPC trade goods.
We don't have to ship in NPC trade goods. We are making it in system now, which I think is good.
Sounds like it makes POS maintenance in deep 0.0 a lot more manageable, a lot more doable, because you don't have to keep shuttling industrials backwards and forwards through pinch points and bottlenecks. As for high-sec, I don't know. The market's going to be fluctuating all over the place until the real value of this stuff works itself out.
Where's the cost? Because you've got the cost for your control tower,
you've got to buy,
and your cost to get it off planet.
Yeah. Well, I managed to make some electrolytes and some oxygen from a storm planet, because that sounded cool. I looked at the list and I thought, storm, yes, that's the one I want. And I launched them into space. You can either ship them up via a new customs platform.
Don't use
thing,
the transport.
Which you, which it, it's like
thing.
A new, yeah, it's like a new yeah. location around planet. Normally, when you go to a planet, you go to a point around in orbit around the planet. There's nothing there. There's a new other point where it's got this special little floating space station in it that keeps shooting tiny little sparks of things up and down to the planet, which looks really cool. And you can use that as effectively a cargo container and haul your stuff off-world via that. You can use that to import stuff as well. That seems to be interesting. Not so much just, you know, I've got some slots, so might as well mine some more. You can actually, if you want to get serious about it, you can just build only factories down there.
Yeah.
Import the stuff from other people's production via this custom centre and just do the high-end reactions on a planet instead. You can have multiple people on the same planet. I don't know what the limits are like that. Apparently there is a sort of finite diminishing returns thing if too many people are on the same planet.
But, okay.
And yeah, it remains to be seen. I mean, I'm obscurely enjoying it. You just log in for like two or three minutes.
It's
the Farmville mechanic.
It's Farmville, yeah. Which needs a spreadsheet to set up.
I know. It sort of suggests that I might probably enjoy Farmville.
You would enjoy Farmville.
I hate myself and you. You can choose to, well, the thing is, you can choose to set the mines going for different periods of time. There's like a 15-minute run or a couple of hours or a 3 or 4 days one. And if you do the quick ones, you get more per minute than if you do the very long ones. So it pays you to be there hands-on as much as you can.
Much like in Farmville.
I suppose. I've never played it.
Yeah.
I'm never going to. But
I think you are.
I suppose I already am. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it adds anything particularly exciting to the game.
It does.
It's something else you can be doing, which I quite like.
For a court point of view, it adds a certain amount of extra content.
Mm.
It gives us something we can do.
It's like a, I don't know, mini resource chain type art. Yeah. It's not really RTS, I suppose. But
we can involve more court members in proper logistics stuff.
Oh, yeah. Everyone can do this. Everyone has a certain allocation.
Even trial members can to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And also it enables us, you know, we aren't having to ship.
You can do it with no skills at all as well. You get default skills to do the very basic command centre and one. And then, yeah, through skills you can improve it, as with everything else in EVE.
Yeah, training up my command centre skill now.
So everyone has the potential of setting up 4 or 5 mines.
I think you can run.
Should be.
Yeah, you can run up, yeah.
There's no reason not to do it. That's the thing. It costs you to buy the command centre.
Not a lot for the basic one.
Not a lot at all for the basic one.
It was 600k or something.
No, God, where were you going? I don't think you got the basic one. The basic one I bought about 60k. It was really cheap.
Yeah, I might have got the 60k one or the next one.
Less than the price of a Tech 1.
But even the top one looked like it was only something like 7 million.
Yeah, and that presumably allows you for loads. It costs you money to add new structures per structure. I don't think it costs anything for the links. It doesn't cost you anything to just do an extraction run or a factory combine run. It costs you a negligible amount to fire a rocket into space with the stuff on board.
Does that just appear as a barrel?
Well, there's
space?
Two of them, yeah. You can do it via the custom centre, which you go to it and use it as a barrel. Or you go, yeah, it just fires it into space and you get a bookmark in your journal as a new tab. And you just fly to it and open it and then take it on board, yeah. And then from there, you can just sell it on the market or use it in the pods or whatever.
Or move it to another system.
It's an interesting feature. It's not revolutionary, and I wouldn't really recommend it as the sole reason to come back and try EVE again.
It's vitally important because it removes another step of NPC supply.
I think that's
the idea
always
is
been
to get
there.
Rid of NPC supply. Everything should be player-driven.
Yeah, I think that's always been their intent, to try and make the entire game player-run, effectively, but... be interesting to see if that's doable and what happens with these resources when the market settles down a bit.
Yeah,
because obviously some will become more profitable to make than others. It depends on what needs what, and it'll all shake down properly within over the next month.
There's also precious little chances to gank people at the moment in it.
Well, there's no combat gameplay to it. You do it in high sec.
It's hard to disrupt people. I was.
It happens all in
modifying
isolation.
Modifying stuff while docked at a station.
Oh, yeah. Even if you've been station camped during a war, you can remotely access your networks on any planet anywhere in the galaxy.
Of course,
when
dust comes along, then there'll be some PvP mechanic for it.
Yeah, this is CCP we're talking about here. They're just setting this stuff up so that players can destroy it for you later
on. I was
on.
Incredibly surprised there was so little players can destroy it for you now.
Yeah, that's obviously... Yeah, that'll change. there's no risk and some reward involved in this at the moment, and that's not good. No, that doesn't follow the song sheet. So, yeah, been pottering around with that. I'm making genetically modified livestock as well, and I don't know why.
Because you can.
I know, because I'm a mad scientist. Yeah. I've got an ocean world as well as my storm world.
Doesn't the livestock get turned into construction blocks or something like that?
I don't know. I've yet to sit down and work out the correct spreadsheet for it all. There is a spreadsheet.
On their wiki have a nice table.
Their people have done it already.
Had some really nice videos as well.
We'll check the EVE forums, EVE online forums. There'll probably be some resources linked there from people, from enterprising individuals who've worked out exactly how this all works and how to min-max it already.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's all gone in. That's good stuff. Yeah, like I say, I'm popping in once a day to set me extractors going. I'm just morbidly curious to watch the little sort of whirly things increase as they go. I think I probably am so a Farmville player.
I think you are.
I mustn't let myself try it because all will be lost.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So we'll see what that does to the game over the next coming. I think was there an economic newsletter recently?
There was indeed.
I think we'll have to try and include that in future news.
Well, we would if there was anything interesting in it.
Is it a quiet one?
It was a bit boring.
Fair enough.
There was no Tales of Destruction.
Yes. Yeah, the Alliance tournament's been going on, which I have not been participating in. So I haven't won there. No news to report about that.
Yeah, people shot each other.
So, largely it's just our little Wednesday casual fleet carrying on doing wormhole stuff at the moment. I'm training logistics next. I'm aiming to get into a Scimitar as my next ship because I don't know, somewhere along the line, and I don't even remember doing this, I managed to train Mimitar Cruisers 5.
I think you would
have. I'm Kaldari. I don't even like Mimitar ships. I usually fly Galente ships. I don't know why I have Mimitar Cruisers 5, but that's the only 5 I have.
Because you were obsessed with a Mimitar battleship at one point.
But the cruiser skill? Why would I have done? I don't know.
Because you're an idiot.
sometimes I do just click randomly on the skill queue there. Yeah. So that puts me much closer to a Scimitar than to a Basilisk or any other comparable logistics ship. I just need to get the long range. That's my next thing to train: long range targeting 5.
Yep.
And then I shall be cleared for logistics, and I shall be bringing the Scimitar along on our wormhole expeditions, which is much more powerful at shield repair and stuff. I am a kind of group healer, along with utility and such like. I don't do much in the way of pew pew, but then with a Myrmidon, you know, you can just stuff the drone bay with hammerheads, and that does the job. That's your part taken care of. Don't really need any guns. But from there, I'm quite looking at Claymore next as well.
Okay.
Well, because I've we've been doing this Wednesday fleet thing, I've suddenly been grouping with other players in EVE, something I'd previously not been doing in all my preceding 5 or 6 years of ever playing. So suddenly these leadership skills are actually quite useful. And I've been training all of those up to 5s, so to unlock all the various command link modules. And I think I want a command ship, so I can put 3 command link modules in at once. And looking at the Evemon skill queue, it looks like the Claymore's probably the quickest one for me to get into, which is the Mimitar one. It's like the Cyclone with the little eye at the front. It's the Tech 2, one of those. Gets bonuses to skirmish warfare mods, I think, which is all the going faster stuff, which I think will help us all a lot because we're in quite big ships and it pays to be able to move quite swiftly.
Oh.
Yeah, well, this week we were in our wormhole and some other pranksters came in and started to have a shoot at us, and they weren't really doing any damage to us, but they were 100k away and we couldn't get to them before they kept warping.
Were they hit by the shrapnel as you went to pieces?
No, but one of them had a stealth bomber. That was brilliant. I got bombed. So yeah, they do a lot less damage. I was really panicking because my previous experience of the bomb launching was when I was in a Tech 1 fleet of frigates, which bombs can cull quite quickly. But yeah, it's sort of watch a small dent on the shield as the concussion bomb goes off, and then he vanished, ran away. It's obvious they couldn't really dent us, but you know, and we weren't going anywhere, so I don't know what happened in the end. But we drove them off, but they didn't come back, but they were still in the same wormhole system, and I thought, well, it's getting late, and rather than be jumped from behind while we're trying to do a quite complex Tech 3 sleeper, yeah, Class 3 sleeper site, might as well call it a night there, to be honest. So I suppose it was a draw. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. I find myself doing a lot more PvP in there than I anticipated.
It's a PvP game, you know.
Yeah, but I don't like doing it just for kicks, you know? I don't mind driving people off of a wormhole that we're trying to work on. That's a bit more, you know, there's a rationale behind it all. I don't just like flying around ganking people that look like they can be killed, because it just seems a bit pointless, really. There's nothing in it for me, apart from satisfaction of it all, which I don't really get a lot of. So, yeah. So still surprisingly interested in you, actually. I was umming and ahhing about continuing with it, but I think I will. We've got good old system going, and I think we've got some. I've got some personal goals with these two cruisers. So yeah, things are looking good for Eve, and of course I got my Farmville thing going on there.
Yeah,
see, that's the thing. I can do planetary interaction and get all the endorphin rush of Farmville without the social stigma because it's Eve and Eve's cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent.
I think CCP know this.
Shh! Don't tell anyone. Okay.
You must let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. DDO.
Oh yeah, that thing.
Yeah. Oh dear, we had a terrible week this week. We're working on the pre-raid for the Demon Queen of the Manectaran Desert.
Means nothing to me.
Yeah, Queen Latifah or something. I'm not quite sure what was going on there, but basically, it is that Snake Woman. We engaged in a quite interesting dungeon with all sorts of riddles and puzzles and traps, and have to do these things in order. And one tunnel with a monkey above it, one tunnel with a bat above it. You know, the kind of thing. Little riddle. There's a big book saying which tunnels you have to do in what order. Yeah, it was good fun. Really enjoyed that dungeon up to the point where we got to the boss, which was the woman with the snake body and all the arms and everything. And she just sort of ran around the room, one hit us all, and that was the end of that.
Huh.
Yeah, so we spent the next sort of 25 minutes sitting in the nearest bar. You know, if you could envisage us all slumped in a row along the bar, hunched over our drinks, grumbling. Yeah, it was very much that kind of moment. Me little halfling on the end. Yeah, leave the bottle. Yeah, I don't know. It's just really jarring. And yeah, there was a lot of emo tweeting about it all as well, so which you may have seen. But yeah, I mean, Torang, Teppo, Malty, me, and who else was in that team? Was it Asgard? I can't remember. Because we have two teams on the go. The other team, they managed to kill them. Kill this stupid demon woman, but our team didn't for some reason. Well, we had five instead of the recommended six, so that could be part of it.
Okay, that's a good excuse.
Yeah, the blade barrier excuse is one I'm going to use as well. We didn't have the cleric who can do blade barrier in our team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't exploit your way through it.
No. Well, there's one particular spell called blade barrier, which basically just is a big AoE of persistent, very high slashing damage. It has these whirling things around it. As long as you can dump that on the ground all over the place and train the monster through it, they tear themselves to bits. Which is nice if you can do it, but I can't, and nor can any of the rest of our team. So, oh, I don't know. And there was something you had to do with hiding behind the throne. And you know how it goes with this sort of stupid raid boss choreography that we all get quite cross about in Lotro a lot. If you have to look it up before you've even tried it once, there's something wrong with it. You know, if you can't, just by looking at it, work out what you need to do intuitively, I think there's probably some kind of problem there. You know, how many times you expected to run an hour-long dungeon, wipe at the first sign of the boss until you start to cotton on to what the cunning special secret move is, you know?
As many as it takes.
As many as it takes, clearly, because they want us to play for months and months and months. Now, this was something they designed and put in prior to the free-to-play, I think. So, you know, for a subscription model, you definitely want people to be doing it, banging their head against the same brick wall over and over month after month, because that gets you more money. I don't know. I'm just ranting and being quite grumpy, really. I don't know. It's just, you know, we were all right for the whole mission, except the end boss, bang, dead. I just don't like it when it suddenly ramps massive difficulty. If it had been that difficult all the way through, we'd have known very early on not to bother and to come back to go try something else. If it had been very easy all the way through, we'd have been quite annoyed at wasting our time and not getting much excitement out of the whole thing. So a very difficult balancing job, I suppose. But so yes, we went off and did another instance, the Fallen Shrine, I think. It's, I don't know. In the desert as well. This is an unrelated single on its own adventure, and we just charged in there it was just like this really weird cathartic suicidal release to us. Or we just charged in there. We weren't bothering to heal. Nothing. Playing bad. Playing willfully stupidly, and we beat it. Hey. No one died. I know. We were trying to get ourselves killed by massive stupor over aggro and everything, and no, just and we completed it. Completed it in what must be a record time as well. So yeah, a bit hit and miss with the difficulty and stuff, and that all got me thinking, I don't know if I like my arcane archer anymore. And yeah, you know how it is. Oh, is this class any good? Well, I thought I'm going to try a DDO, what DDO passes for a tank, because I am pretty much a tank in most games, interestingly including Gears of War 2.
Yeah.
Which is a bit strange.
I must have wrote the photo for that,
cover that in a moment. But yeah, I thought, well, I haven't tried actual tanking in DDO. Does it work even? Is the Holy Trinity there? You get a taunt called Intimidate, which is a short-range AoE taunt which comes up It has a 6 second cooldown and comes up every 10 seconds or something. Basically, you can taunt for 60% of the time if you keep hammering this button. It's not quite as rigid as taunting in something like World of Warcraft or Lotro, but there are things you can do. The tower shields. I mean, I've never seen any of our lot use a shield. Apparently, they're very, very good for tanking. So I've rolled a new dwarf.
How's that working with the fact that you're many, many levels behind?
It's not really. I'm going to have to put a lot of extracurricular activity in to get up to the right level. I mean, if I'd have done more favour point reward collector scheme thing on my main character, I could have unlocked veteran mode. Once you unlock veteran mode, your new characters start at level 4. Which I don't know. It might be quicker just to make a brand new character and go to level 4. But I've been trying the Korthos Islands stuff as a dwarf fighter. They're called fighters in D&D, with all the defensive shield spec stuff on and lots of extra intimidate ability and all the rest of it, and soloing. So I'm not quite sure how well my tanking's working. But
have you maybe forgotten damage?
Well, yes, I have, but my character is very survivable. I'm getting huge amounts of damage reduction just by having this tower shield, and holding shift usually just does a sort of crossed arms, panicky looking move for my ranger. But if you're holding a shield, it actually does a shield, puts the shield up. Then, if you right mouse whilst holding shift, you actually wallop with the shield. So the shield bash, usually a special move, is actually is something you can do all the time for free, as a free attack in D&D, DDO. So I'm quite hopeful of seeing how this works. I mean, obviously I'll keep my main character going for group nights, but I think I want to try and gradually level this one up as a possible replacement, because I am most at home at the heart of the monster's attention. So I'll huddle down behind a shield, whimpering, while about 30 or 40 monsters beat on me and everyone else shoots from behind, you know. I think I am one of the life's tanks. So, it's going to give it a go in D&D. DDO, see if it works. See how adaptable my generally learnt tanking skills are to this new thing. So that's going to give me a bit of interest for the next next month or two, I think. As I work that up, it should be good. Shall I talk about consoles?
Yeah, go on then.
Just for the record, I hadn't touched Global Agenda again since last show. I should probably give it a benefit of doubt and play it a few more times. But it kind of drove me off a bit. I'm waiting for the rest of Sandstorm to deploy, and then we'll have another look and see how it goes. I mean, I've only got so much time, you know. But consoles, have been doing Horde mode, more Gears 2 stuff with the Horde.
I'm
very enjoying that. Yeah, really getting into my stride. We're trying all sorts of different maps. You were farming them all for some sort of achievement rush, weren't you? We were only doing the first 10 or 20 on a particular map, and then
in this notebook,
we had to stop and do another one.
Well, it's because we were...
Some of them were quite awkward, though, these maps, weren't they?
They were. Some of them aren't really designed for it. See, I've got this here.
You've written a whole load of notes.
That's a page full of what we need to do.
Blimey.
That'll scare you off.
That's scary, yeah. See my console adventures documented for the next year and a half. Like I say, I usually play as Dom. I got the big old the big shield thing and that dragony pistol machine gun thing, and I'm enjoying that immensely. Good fun, just casual nonsense mucking about with lots of guns and incoming monsters.
Manages to take a... they talked about this on Chaos Slightly. It takes a small, simple scenario.
Yeah.
Lets the player solo or group with a small amount of people or group with everyone, depending on what they want to do.
Mm.
And from that, you get a much more emergent gameplay.
It's very variable, yeah. There's all sorts of craziness going on with five people charging around. It's just a small... the gas station one. That was quite cool.
That was good, yeah.
It's basically like a petrol station. You're all up on the roof trying to shoot off the monsters as they try and come in. That underground railroad platform place with the locust-style one, that was quite good. Except for the bits where they spawn at the bit where we were all hiding. That's all quite hectic then, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
What else did we try? There was that one with the emulsion stuff all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We tried Flood. Flood's not very... I don't like Flood.
It didn't flood, though. You said every so often
it
the
does
water
on the
rises.
Normal maps, but obviously not in Horde.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
We'll be standing on top of this one remaining point by the end of 10 rounds or so.
Five big beefy blokes all trying not to fall off the roof of a Nissan Sunny, sticking out of this yellow goop. we played a bit of... what else did we do? We did some Burnout Paradise.
I'm still
working on that bloody challenge list of three-player ones.
You need to work out your boost training.
It's terrible. They're stuck on this last one. You've got to do 20 seconds of holding down. You've got a boost for 20 seconds in oncoming traffic on the freeway.
Yeah.
And I just can't do it. Every time you crash, obviously, you've stopped boosting. If you let off the boost button that restarts the clock. It's surprisingly hard. 20 seconds is a very long
time. You
need to
do more near misses while you're doing the boosting.
Yeah, what, in a stunt car?
No, in a speaker.
Oh, what, the yellow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, I was having trouble with that. I don't think I've unlocked fast enough cars to be able to pull that one off.
You should be doing just about anything, but just make sure you're picking up enough points that you get from just good driving while you're doing it
to recharge for the next go,
and then the next one should click in and you just keep going.
Mm. I've been playing this week's mystery game.
Yes, we have
for our next show on the game review thing there. Yeah, I got problems with that, but. Yeah, we'll keep going anyway.
For some reason, your networking's not working.
Yeah, I'm missing the entire online component, which because it won't connect for some reason.
Which is it's a big clue as to what it is.
Well, it kind of defeats the point of it otherwise. But yes, we'll talk more about that next
week. We'll have to try and resolve that, I reckon, into your port settings.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, if you can give me a hand trying to sort that out, because I think possibly the online bit of that is important. But we shall talk more about that next week. And that's about me, really. That's about it. How am I doing for time?
You forgot Fable 2, but yeah.
Have I forgot what?
Fable 2.
I've been playing Fable 2, yes. Yes, I have. Just more of the same, really. I've settled into a nice, comfortable world that's war-torn and ruined mostly by my own hand, and I'm just pottering around torturing individual natives.
Yeah.
It's all very, very pleasant.
Okay.
Yeah.
My turn.
Yeah, go on.
I've hardly played any games, actually.
No?
No, it's been a very quiet couple of weeks. I've played a bit of. I've actually been logging in and playing Eve because of Planetary Interaction.
Yeah. So you talk about your corp in their Planetary Interaction stuff. Have you got some sort of. Because there's something I think possibly myself, Note, and Vorek might be trying to organise between our Casual Wednesday fleet is distributing out the planets so that we can get a big chain going and some big profits.
That's sort of
what
we're looking at.
Is that your corp setting
up? Yeah.
But also, I suppose you'll have requirements for specific pos fuels you'll want to try and do in house as well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm not going to say much more about that because I really don't know.
Fair enough.
I'm a little out of touch as to what's going on in the court because I haven't logged in months.
Mm.
That's all I'm doing in Eve. I've still got no incentive to undock.
You should join our little Wednesday outings.
I can't kill people.
Yeah,
politics.
Yeah, because we're hardcore PvP, and you know, I mean, effectively pirates. It is if it's not blue, shoot it, and no one's blue to us.
Yeah. Okay, so it's console games.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing quite a lot of Split Second.
Yep.
Which is the driving game where you blow stuff up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Talked about that before.
Yep. Change the course and whatnot. Multiplayer on that really don't like.
Yeah, has it become too formulaic?
Everyone knows exactly what's going on. Take the left line down here. Take the right line down here.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's one of the tips.
A clever idea that spoils itself.
Yeah, but the single player I'm enjoying.
Okay, good.
It's fun, and when you get a massive route-changing event happen, and you trigger it and you wipe out everyone ahead of you, it just feels so satisfying.
I can imagine, yeah.
And then there's Doom 2.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, I've been pottering away at that. I've really not sat down and played through the game because I keep just jumping in and blowing and shooting stuff.
It comes from an age when gaming, I think, probably was a bit more drop-in, a bit more casual.
I'm not entirely sure.
It wasn't interesting enough to maintain you for 4 or 5 hours at a stretch.
But I really haven't felt the need to just plough through all the levels. I'm just enjoying the individual levels so much. Mm. And I just go and kill stuff, have fun.
Fair enough.
What else is on my list? It was the Borderlands. I probably talked about that last time, didn't I?
Borderlands, no.
Ah.
Oh, you think you may have touched on it, but you're trying 1,000% it or whatever.
Yeah, I was doing some of the arena
tournament
stuff.
Thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes ages. the long arena tournaments take too long, and I haven't done another one since.
It does seem a bit mad if it's like adrenaline fueled arena based stuff, but which lasts, what, an hour ago?
4 or 5 hours.
Really? Yeah. What, no opportunity for breaks?
You
can't just stop and save.
The way, no, you have to play through in one setting.
I don't know.
You can pause.
I mean, yeah, okay, so obsessive gamers like us will tend to play things for 4 or 5 hours at a go, but very rarely is it required.
Yeah.
You don't have game activities that take that long in one go, which is
and the thing
curious.
Is the arena combat just isn't good arena combat. It's too predictable, the waves happen, and
horde mode's
fails.
Much better.
It fails as to what it's trying to do, unfortunately.
Mm.
Which is a real shame, really. I've been playing quite a lot of Left 4 Dead 2 as well.
Ah,
because zombies are cool.
Yes. See, it's people like you that encourage Valve.
Yeah, it's
the they're never going to make anything else unless you go unless you stop playing Left 4 Dead 2.
Basically, the mutation system gives me an incentive to drop in once a week.
Ah, updating content.
Yeah, each week they change a game mode. Like, you know, it's this week it's infinite fuel on chainsaws.
Valve doing regular updated episodic content.
Regular updated. Actually, no. This week I think only one guy can get out on the exit vehicle.
Oh, and it's going to be me.
That was a bit frantic at the end there. And it just mixes it up, so it's quite enjoyable and quite fun.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's strange how a minor tweak keep going will bring me back to a game again and again and again. And I think it's an important lesson that other devs can learn from that.
Yeah.
And of course, it helps that it's a really good game to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really should.
I know. It's on my list.
You don't buy many of your list.
I don't buy many games, no.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Really not been playing it much. After completing the plot, wind went out my sails.
Is it an open sandboxy dude? Yeah. You're like, sort of, and yet there's a big strong story which you've now finished, which has now taken
the
wind
out of
the...
Saints Row 2 for me, Fable 2. Yeah, I will go back to GTA 4 at some stage and do all of the collecting stuff and whatnot.
And yet if you have a sandbox game that doesn't have a story at all, people just don't get into them at all. So is the sandbox element perhaps not as relevant as we'd like? I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure the game needed a sandbox in the single player as much as it possibly could have.
But you've got achievements to fill, corners to see.
Yeah, there's still the multiplayer. There's the co-op missions being introduced soon, which we'll all jump in and do, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You'll need to buy it for that.
Got another one.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, isn't it? The peer pressure. I'm quite happy just to make do with one game a year. All my friends are suddenly buying this other thing, and I have to buy it.
Why do you think multiplayer's in games?
I know.
One of the problems with the way you play games is there's this 2 week sweet spot when everyone's playing a game.
Yeah.
And after that,
no one's interested. Yeah. And then I come along sort of 4 or 5 months later. Ooh, wouldn't this be awesome if anyone else played it? Yeah. But then I don't want to. I've seen how much you spend on games and I've seen how many games you've got in here. And I really don't want to have to try and stay on top of that because it is financially destructive and probably not good for you spiritually either. You know, not wanting to cast aspersions on your lifestyle at all there, John, but I couldn't do it.
No, but you don't need to buy quite as many games as I buy, because I just buy an insane number of games.
But then it's knowing which are the good ones. Yeah,
that's pretty easy to work out, I think. I think it probably works out at only about 6 or 7 games a year that I must buy ones.
But you got to do it at the time, which is the key.
Yeah, or have a group who are willing to go back and play
them. You're not going to know it's rubbish until you bought it and tried it a bit, and then it's too late.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I should really get back into that and do it. I'm hoping the DLC will help, but I don't actually have high hopes for the DLC. I think my expectations of it aren't quite as high as they could be.
It's very much an open shut story. You think bolting extra bits on?
They're
going to
add a couple of co-op missions, and that just feels like bolting on a couple of co-op missions.
Yeah, yeah. It's too sort of well integrated in itself.
There's not enough in the multiplayer, which I think will keep me interested in the long term, in say the way the Horde mode does, or any MMO does.
I can see Horde mode quite a lot. Yeah. Yeah, even though, even once we've seen all the maps, it's more about refinement and honing, I suppose.
And it's about hanging out with a group of people, doing a task which everyone knows how to do. There's no stupid surprises with
I'm having trouble
to do dancing.
At the moment, because it's the very first time I've seen each of these maps.
Some of them the first time I've seen
them. Yeah, I tell you, by about 4 or 5 waves in, I got the hang of it, found the shield and pistol, and I'm away.
I was spotting
there. I know what you mean. There's no stupid choreography needed. Yeah. You just get in there and have a blast.
Yeah, there's no stupid Dance Revolution bits.
Yeah.
So it just enables people to be themselves and have fun without having external influences trying to stop you doing that.
I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure about Red Dead's long-term stuff.
Fantastic once through, but...
Yeah. Also, it's one of those things where the ending is just so fantastic.
You don't want it. You don't really need to do any more after that. No,
I don't want to. It's like at the end of Heavy Rain, although I didn't quite agree with the plot. The experience was just so fantastic at the end, I just didn't want to play it again.
Yeah, that's a done thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come back to this in a few
years.
If I
play it again, it'll spoil it.
It'll
dilute the memories.
Like that. I know what you mean, yeah.
So yeah, I'll play it again in a couple of years, but until then, no. Well, many Gears of War... Gears of War 2 every day. What else have I played? Played a little bit of Snoopy Flying Ace.
Does that do exactly what it says on the tin?
Only the demo. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
I decided that maybe I shouldn't be playing it because I was shooting the people in the parachutes all the way down. I didn't feel this was in the spirit of Snoopy.
Uh-huh. Fair enough.
And what else have I played? I was playing a bit of Killzone 2.
Okay.
You know, I didn't. It's a PS3 shooter, which I really, really didn't get into.
Mm.
And so I've been forcing myself to try and get into it.
Yeah.
And I know why. And I know the game looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all the bad guys have a stupid Mockney accent, which doesn't help. And the controls suck. But I don't know, I just can't get into the game. I was playing it earlier. I just couldn't quite.
Click.
No. Mm.
Sometimes it just doesn't click. Yeah.
It's just missing something to be a brilliant game. I don't know what it is. There's a new one coming out next year. I hope that solves it.
Fair enough.
I also played some Star Trek Online.
Oh, okay. How's that going? Why are you even playing that? I thought you'd gotten bored of it all.
Yeah, you see, it's one of those games which has the one feature which I really love, which is the spaceship combat.
Okay.
And so I jumped in because I wanted to blow some stuff up.
Have you ever tried Pirates of the Burning Sea?
No.
I think you probably should at some point. Mm. You might you'll probably like the ship combat in there anyway. The Avatar combat's pretty sucky, as I recall, but the ship combat, interesting.
Yeah. STO, though. Ground combat, still don't like it. Ground combat. Not very Star Trek. Space combat, brilliant.
Yeah.
Their public quest system, though, seriously, same as in War, seriously broken in the point that you can jump into a mission which you've been sent on.
Yeah.
30 seconds before the end of the quest ticks over.
Mm.
So you jump in, get the tick off, yes, I've completed this quest, and you've not had to do anything.
Well, I can't see how you can fix that, otherwise, apart from instancing it to individual players, because what, you're going to restart the mission as soon as a new person turns up?
I think you should have to start from scratch.
The
way these work is they tend to be destroy 8 groups of enemies.
Yeah.
And then after you destroyed all 8, it ticks off, boom, there's a 2 minute 50-something whatever gap before the mission re-spawns.
So make it so that player has to be there from start to finish, and perhaps...
So they have to get all of them, and you don't have the entire mission respawn.
Hmm. Well, yeah, but some people aren't as fast as others, so you're not going to get all the kills yourself in a public quest.
Well, no,
but you have to at least be there for the whole thing.
It doesn't matter. You have to be there, because at the moment you don't have to shoot. You can just be there, and they will tick off as people around you destroy them.
Well, you are a part of a group. Yeah. So that's all right.
That bit's fine, but it's just, you know, maybe not having to be there all of the time.
Just turning up 30 seconds at the end, I don't know.
Seems
problematic.
Turn up 30 seconds at the end, people just tick everything off, and bump, you're done, when you don't need to.
Well, because the Warhammer public quests have more in the way of participation counting, don't they?
You don't get the reward.
You're working at the same tally, but if you kill more than everyone else, you'll get a higher score when it comes to divvying out the loot.
You get
a certain random thing.
There are
too.
Certain missions or certain quests which send you to go and do them, at least at the start.
Yeah.
And I turn up for those just as they're ticking off the large big bad guy on wave 3.
Oh, I see. Well, is that so bad? It seems, I mean, well,
okay, that
if that's a
much.
Problem for you, you should stay there and do another one anyway. If you feel you've not done your share, you need to step in and not just do what the game minimum requires of you.
Possibly.
That's what I was doing. I'd turn up towards the end, it'd tick off almost immediately. I think, no, I want to have a go at this, so I'd stay for another round of it myself, just off my own back, you know. You can always... You don't have to do exactly what the game requires.
And of course, in that, you want to build up your renown so you can get your...
There's overriding reasons to do it several times. Yeah, and multiple goes at the big bag of goodies too, as well.
And the only other game I really played is... I don't know why, but I've been addicted to Wii Rules still.
Ah, right.
Which is, one of those Farmville stupid games where you just tick stuff off.
Ah, we don't need that anymore. Now planetary interactions here.
Stuff happens. Mm. I'm almost level 20. Don't know why. Don't know why I want to be level 21.
Or how you got to be 20, or what's going on.
Tick, 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 tick. That's all it is.
Do you like it because you can play it on your iPhone? Is it the iPhone?
It's on the iPhone, which makes it a lot easier. Yeah, so...
But you just don't have a lot else on the iPhone.
Well, no, it would just bing at me, putting up a message saying, your stuff needs sorting.
Ah.
And I spend 30 seconds sorting my stuff.
It's very Pavlovian.
And then I'm done, it is.
Ring that bell. Ding, ding, ding. Ooh, I'm hungry.
Yeah, it's somewhat alarming.
I just need to take a step back.
Yeah.
That's about APB?
Oh, yeah, I played a little bit of APB, didn't I?
Because we've all got big plans and we need your early impressions.
Developers of the world.
Uh-oh, here we
game
go.
Developers, especially. Pay attention.
Sorry,
we do have musical cancer. I'm not entirely sure anyone knows the copyright on that, do they? anyway, yes. If in 2010 you require your game to be run as administrator in order for it to start properly, you can go shove something where you don't want it shoved. You've had more than enough years to realise what the rules are.
Right, get this right. Maybe you'll know what's going on here. When I play DDO or when I play Lotro, both turbine launchers, if I just double click them and launch them, they go through the little put your name and address thing in, the lame user thing. Push go, goes to load to full screen mode and then vanishes. It goes black. We get a black full screen and there's the task bar, but it's not active and it will just close again.
Yeah.
If I run as APB administrator, it'll load properly.
APB was doing a similar thing. You just click on it, bonk, try and log in, bonk, game shuts.
Yeah. Pain in the arse, that is.
You've had several many years to sort this out. Microsoft has said this is the way you should code stuff since NT3 was released. And since Vista was released, it's been the default. And you shouldn't expect people to have to turn off their security because you can't code your game right.
So presumably what's happening there is games trying to launch isn't allowed to by the operating system because it hasn't had clearance or hasn't done it in the correct way.
It's trying to do something it's not allowed to.
Yeah, and just being killed by Windows.
And, well, not being killed by Windows, what will happen is they're not handling an error or something.
And it just disappears.
Yeah.
Or you can right-click and run as administrator on the shortcut and then... pops up this, are you sure you want to run this thing? And that's annoying
and the
too.
Moment you're running as administrator, as processes can grab hold of your app, pull out information about them, get your password out, all that sort of stuff. The security matters.
There's a reason it's there. Yes. So so we're not happy with
that. PC gaming, great.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I didn't actually get the game started and logged in.
Have you actually played it?
Yeah, I played it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It doesn't,
it's not that broken, then.
Doesn't run that fast. Uh-huh. It's a little bit sluggish.
Is that your PC or it?
Well, partially my PC.
Bit of both, I imagine.
But I don't really want to spend the cost of a new console to make my PC better.
When effectively all you use that for these days is playing Lotro.
Yeah. Well, it's perfectly good for my HD video editing I also do on it.
Right.
Yeah. Driving model is perhaps the worst driving model I've ever played in a game.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you still manage it, though? Because we're kind of relying on you to be our wheelman.
Oh, I can be your wheelman.
Yeah. Because I know I won't be able to drive at all in there. I'll be just slamming into lampposts and pillars.
Half of my 360 controller worked. I had all the look around controls working, but I couldn't accelerate or anything.
Oh, you were trying to use the 360 controller?
Yeah, well, it's always plugged into that because I program in XNA, I use it.
Okay, so another bug that needs fixing?
Yeah, right. Well, it could just be an option I didn't hunt down enough.
Yeah.
But it really feels like a console game.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
It feels like a really slow console game. Right. If you compare it to their last game they made, Crackdown, one of their missions I can complete in about 7 seconds.
Well, this is part of the reason that I'm putting my 3-month rule aside and are quite keen to jump on board with everyone else with this one so soon and at the moment. It's because, I've just recently played Crackdown and that was fantastic.
I suspect that most of the Crackdown devs... when they left to make the Crackdown 2, they took most of the good people with them.
Ah, so this is only some of the people who made Crackdown
only some
and
of
not
people
the good
who made
people.
The Crackdown. And I'm not seeing amazing things here.
You're not painting a fantastic picture for our future gaming plans.
The game's incredibly slow. It seems incredibly repetitive. The only chance is for the interactions between the cops and the bad guys to pull it out of that and make it into something special. And I've not seen it so far.
Right.
But I've only got it working today, and I've not played it extensively.
Okay. But so the first impressions, though, are somewhat dubious. By the
My first impressions are a little bit muted.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, I'll probably still get it anyway, because you pay once for 50 hours, and we'll see how we go at the end of that, whether we bother paying any more.
Oh, the fact that you being in the tutorial ticks down on your paid hours as well. Got 5 hours because of the pre-order.
Yeah.
And being in the tutorial ticks off that time.
What?
I know.
You're effectively paying,
you're
by,
paying,
the,
to get work
paying by the minute to be in the tutorial. Yeah. That's a bit out of order.
It is. It's stuff like that.
Are they worried people will stay in the tutorial forever because it's such fun?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, dear. So people are going to be racing through that. I'm beginning to wonder about this whole thing.
I am.
So what? Our plan B, then?
What?
We had a plan B, didn't we? We'll have to bear that in mind, right? Okay. Well, no, we're still going to give it a go, though.
Yep.
So give it a proper go as a group.
It feels like they haven't quite thought it through properly.
Maybe the group gameplay. Did you group with anyone or are you soloing about?
No, I soloed completely because I'm afraid of other people.
Because what we're looking for specifically with this whole Monday night game replacement is something that a large group of players can enjoy together, you know? And
yeah.
And have fun as a sort of night out larking about in a new world, you know, which was Lotro and now it's going to be something
else.
Unfortunately,
it's not going to let us divide up so half of us are cops, half of us are robbers and just play cops and robbers together.
You can't choose your opponents.
Not as far as I can see.
It gets randomly assigned based on skill levels and
stuff like that.
So there's no sort of friendly matchmaking duel system prearrange.
Not that I've seen, but there could be.
Okay.
Which would be
that would be quite fun. Yeah, if that's possible.
Just let us play cops and robbers for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Match us up against this other guild that we name as our criminals guild or whatever, yeah.
And I think that's it for all the games I've played.
Right, okay. On with the Twitter question.
Let me find Twitter. Okay, what was the Twitter question?
Twitter question, I'm basically asking you, dear listener, what games you would like to see reviewed on our new review weekly, fortnightly show thing there. We've done Global
like
Agenda.
A good idea to you, did it?
I am genuinely interested in hearing what people want us to do, where they want us to go and look, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, also because I pretty much have played everything at this point, more or less, so only have a few that I haven't seen, so we're going to run out quite quickly if that's the way. So we played Global Agenda. There's the mystery game that I'm playing at the moment, but after that, what are we going to be playing next?
Okay.
So let's have a little look. What do people want to see?
Gothwalk says, EverQuest 2. I know you've done it before, but I'd be interested to see what you think now.
I'm quite a veteran EverQuest 2 player after my fashion. I've got a level 70-ish gnome swashbuckler on, I can't remember the server name now, which is going to be a problem if I want to go back. So, I mean, I it's going to be very hard for me to get first impressions, although
the game's changed a lot.
The game has changed quite a lot since I was there. I last played during the Echoes of Faedark expansion, which is when they added Kelethin and the pixie people with the wings. And I've not really been back greatly since. I've seen the flames
of
desert.
Does what we're doing have to be first impressions, though?
No, not really. I mean, we're just going to talk for an hour in an interesting-ish manner, 40 minutes or so, about a particular game that we've both played. Do both have to play at the same time or have played recently or whatever, just so that we can get some sort of handle on it. It's more of an in-depth look than just the sort of skimming over we do in the what we're playing. Yeah. So, but yeah, EverQuest 2, I wonder if that might be a candidate for Monday group, if it all goes terribly wrong with APB and anything else we can think of. It's a solid game that does support group gameplay very well. The setting's a bit generic, but I have not seen any of this Sarnak areas. The Timorous Deep's gone in recently, the Hallas stuff, there's a starter area there, I think. So there is opportunities to experience a new kind of EverQuest 2 there for me, I think, because there's a lot that I've just not seen yet. So that's a possible, yeah.
Notrist says Chronicles of Spellborn. Sadly, another game where it takes a while to get good.
That
repetitive
was the one,
skill bar early on.
That had the rotating skill bar, as I remember.
Yeah.
And it was all based on like big airships that are sailing through these big shattered planet sort of world thing. It looked interesting. I don't know where it is. It even still going? I guess it must
be.
It
got a bit confusing with all that, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to track it down and have a look. That is one I genuinely have no idea and would like to see, yeah.
Bevex wants to know if it has been an MMO.
Nope,
not at all.
Not at all. It can be a single player game. It can be online matchmaking console game. It can be
expanding
MMO.
Our horizons.
Oh, absolutely. Any game that I have the ability to play. So it has to be either 360 or PC because
You're preempting other questions here.
Have I? All right, go then.
Malmothulia says, will be interesting to hear what you think of Darkfall.
I think we're definitely.
Everyone take a drink.
Yeah.
And at the end of the scale, something like Mabinogi.
Mabinogi? I don't even know what that is. I think I've seen Spouse Aggro there, Voturkey, going on about it a lot, but no idea. Mm. Open to all things?
Darkfall's actually on the list.
I think, yeah, Darkfall is one
we are
going to be doing.
The problem with that is we're going to be doing it from our rules, our point of view, so we may get completely slated for not putting enough effort into the game.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing the rage. Do remember that we're going to be looking at these games for perhaps 8 hours in total in our busy lives, because we've got a fortnight, and we're also playing four other MMOs at once, so these can only be first impressions and very subjective ones.
And if the game doesn't grab us in that sort of time, we're not likely to subscribe to them, so yeah.
If I don't like your game, you can scream at me all you like, I don't mind. If that helps, that's good too.
Brain Milkshake says,
Is that a new follower?
Can't remember. My brain's into a milkshake. I can only think of games I've played like Fuel or Assassin's Creed 2. Both good games.
I'd like to try either of those. Fuel, that's a huge roaming driving game.
Fuel.
I'd like to see that, yeah. And Assassin's Creed 2, I've played Assassin's Creed 1 and have many issues.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if those are resolved in 2.
Assassin's Creed 2 is a good option as well.
So those can be on the list.
Yeah. How recent should they be? Could I suggest a PS2 game? No.
We have no timer on recency. I mean, up to modern games are interesting. It has to be something I can borrow off John because I don't have a huge budget for this kind of thing.
And he doesn't have a PS2, so
I don't have a PS2, unfortunately, or a Wii. So pretty much, like I say, Xbox 360 or PC, really. But any age, any vintage. Yep. Yeah.
Copperbird says, try War again. See how it's coming up.
Yeah, about that. That actually is our plan B if APB turns out to be rubbish and not being enjoyed by anyone who's joined our little game.
I wouldn't mind seeing the
end
game in War.
Yeah, I
just don't want a PvP.
I free trialed War and I've kept an infinite free trial thing going.
Yeah.
And I did accidentally get my free trial up into Tier 2 somehow, which did get fixed. Yeah. So I've had a little look at that, but I'd like to see the whole thing. I'd like to see the Skellington Tomb King place, the desert-y thing, whatever it's called. Yeah, lots in War that I've yet to see that I wouldn't mind going and looking at properly.
Montgomery says, Alpha Protocol, please, espionage RP for the win. No, it's not a very good game. It's not worth doing.
Says you. Have you played it?
No.
Have I played it?
No.
Well then, possibly that may be worth looking at.
Somebody have to buy it.
A lot of people saying it's not that great, but who knows.
Lady, with her usual collection of numbers and letters. Snoopy Flying Ace, downloadable on the Xbox.
You've had a go at that.
I've had a go at that.
Do you want to do a mini review? Very, very mini review.
It made me feel really, really harsh about myself.
It made you all inhumanitarian about parachutists. Yeah.
Dr. Torag, both about remembering to put the at on. And I know next to nothing about Counter-Strike. And I'd anticipate advantage.
It's such an iconic thing, isn't it? It's like one of the defining hallmarks of our gaming age, Counter-Strike. And I've never played it.
No, neither way.
So I think probably yes. I think that does need to go on the list.
God, we have to.
I'm afraid so.
I hate first-person shooters like that. They're so harsh.
Oh, well, it's going to be... Well, yeah, this is perhaps the harshest the first-person shooter genre has to offer. So if we can survive 2 weeks in there, I think we'll be set for anything, really.
Song Zero says, Worm Online and Mortal Online.
Yeah. I think Vorik was talking about Worm Online as well. Worm Online seems, apparently, is a cross between Tale in the Desert, but with combat, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a very involved crafting sort of thing to it, or where you need to cook food and eat it, or you'll die or something, and you know, by finding onions and making a campfire and etc. So quite micromanagey, but also has combat elements too. Should be interesting. Mortal Online, that's new. That's touted as the challenger to Darkfall's throne.
Yeah.
So, am I worth a look to? I don't know. I think we probably ought to play Darkfall first.
If we play Darkfall, we have to play Mortal Online. Really.
Fair enough.
Compare and contrast.
Okie dokie.
Asgard says, I'd love to hear what you guys think about RuneScape. Oh, and of course Farmville.
I have not played RuneScape in like about 6 or 7 years. I'd be interested to see how that's doing now. Free-to-play browser MMO that's been going for ages and ages and is hugely popular. Is it more popular than Warcraft? It's that kind of numbers.
I think it is. It may well be.
It's a ridiculous phenomenon that often goes overlooked. Yep. Yeah.
Redith says, Ratchet and Clank for overall zany, furry fun. Plus Tim sounds like Clank when he laughs.
I'm never laughing again now.
It's a PS3 game, so it's a little tricky.
Okay. Well, I can... find it. I can see what this laughter's about anyway.
Eric Cho incorrectly suggests FIFA 2010 World Cup, of course. No. I don't want to buy another FIFA game.
Fair enough.
I bought a FIFA.
We have absolute veto on any of these suggestions.
We've got
of
FIFA
course.
10. We could always
FIFA 10. Yeah. Could have a look. Maybe that would work. Because sports games is something that's totally off my radar as well. I don't generally bother with them, but it'd be interesting to see what that's all about.
DeBart says, League of Legends. I'm on a quest to make everyone play. Besides, you'll have a PvP guilt trip, which makes good radio.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel guilty. I don't feel that guilty about the PvP, to be honest. I finally felt like I was playing it properly.
Yeah.
That's quite worrying. Like I'd unleashed something.
Actually, suggests Falcon 4 Allied Force multiplayer on multiviper.com.
Oh, blimey.
I actually have that.
Right. Falcon 4, that's going back a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
And Star Trek Online.
Star Trek Online again.
I think you should play Star Trek Online.
I do need to see it, yeah. It always was on my must-see list.
Max Castillo says, Allods Online. Wizard 101, Darkfall, Mortal Online, just to throw a few out there.
Just a few, then.
Yeah.
I've briefly looked at Wizard 101. I'm not to the capacity of doing a proper review on it, though, so yeah, have a look. Allods. Allods is the one we are allowed to like, isn't it? It's Algernon, the one we're not allowed to like.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
PB89553 says, how about Earth Eternal for a laugh?
That's where you get to play as furries.
Yeah, like but by a laugh, you mean a laugh for you, don't you?
Fox people and all sorts of nuzzling.
Nothing
and,
wrong with fairies.
No, nothing at all.
No, yes.
Yeah, I think the suggestions are starting to get a bit silly now, really.
No, they're not. Now they're getting a bit silly. Kootenik 2000 has Hello Kitty Online.
Hello Kitty Online. Yeah, do they do a trial, do you think?
Don't know.
All right, well, I think that's definitely going on the list then.
Yeah. Saint Mistaken suggests we compare Darkfall to Mortal Online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Similar target markets, how they've evolved, similar issues with different designs.
Yeah, I think they'd make for an excellent compare and contrast.
Zona 21, Just Cause 2 for explodey goodness.
Yeah. You've played that extensively. Yeah. I need a borrow of that anyway, so.
Similar. Also, Darkfall.
Another one for Darkfall.
Don't worry if you can't get too much time, but that's not a problem.
You people try to get us all killed.
They
want to send us into Darkfall.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Whimsical Mimi says, please review Beast Farmer. It's an iPhone game.
Ah, yeah. I don't have an iPhone, but
I did actually download this.
Yeah?
Yeah. The first level had me tapping the screen repeatedly for 20 seconds to make something hatch. Then I had to try and catch little flies to put into my beast's mouth, and I couldn't do that.
They were too fast for you.
They were too fast for me. My hand
died of starvation.
Unfortunately, it made me feel bad about myself.
And also damaged your iPhone's touchscreen quite considerably, I imagine.
Yeah.
Jolly good. Mini review there.
Yeah, not playing anymore. Sam Gangrel. He wants us to talk to him. Yes, we should do that. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, Dewar there.
Dewar says Stalker or Fort Zombie.
I've never heard of Fort Zombie. I've heard of Stalker, though.
Yeah.
Is that the Chernobyl one, isn't it? Yeah. I've heard it's very difficult, quite hardcore, quite hectic survival thing there going on. I must have a look, yeah.
Yeah. Finally, Mike Azara has a suggestion for a question we should talk about. How about the trend to just add content to games as opposed to remakes or adding two, EQ2 versus Evil WoW?
Yeah,
which we can actually handle quite quickly.
Interesting.
Because you can't really launch a sequel because people won't move over from the first game.
I think sequels are a mistake. Yeah, because if you compare it to say films, people will watch the first one, then they will stop watching the first one, then they will watch the second one, and they'll either like the second one or think the first one was better. But rarely do you have two services running parallel together, one and one being the sequel of the other.
Every time someone's tried to do a sequel, it's gone badly.
Well, I don't know about badly, but you can't guarantee that everyone is going to move from your first one to your second one, and then you can shut the first one down and work hard on the second one. You end up running two different things in parallel, probably with two different teams, costing you twice as much.
Yeah,
and perhaps not necessarily getting you a huge amount of more income in the end,
and potentially halving your user base.
Yeah. Basically, your sequel starts to prey on the predecessor for customers. Some people will like this. We'll see this with Guild Wars 2.
Well, that's the interesting thing with Guild Wars 2, because it doesn't have the monthly.
Mm.
It's going to be interesting to see how it affects.
I think most people
game.
Will play both. Yeah. They'll jump between them, perhaps play one more of one than another, but you're not shutting one door by opening another, if you know what I mean. I think the MMO most normal sensible MMOs, you're not going to see a Lotro 2. They're going to keep adding more books, more content.
You won't see an EVE 2.
You won't see a DDO 2 either.
Even see a WoW 2. You'll see a completely different game.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Cataclysm's going to be interesting because that's effectively, I don't know, it depends how wide-ranging, changing it is. But it's going to be its own sequel and destroy the first game in the process.
Yes, but they're changing the content, not the gameplay. Because what Star Wars Galaxies did was they changed the gameplay but not the content.
Yes.
Which nobody liked.
And it didn't really fit.
So it remains to be seen whether or not you can change the content and people like it, which I suspect
they will.
Keep
the same mechanics, suddenly give just a whole fresh load of new content to it all. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, the whole draw, I think, one of the main draws of MMOs for me is the fact that it changes and evolves over time. That's why you're paying your monthly, I think, or whatever payment model they have. You're getting stuff refined, improved, and not just fixed, but you're getting new stuff added as well. And that's very much the MMO thing. I mean, just, adding a 2, like EverQuest 2. EverQuest 2, I don't believe it ever got more numbers than EverQuest 1. I don't think it ever was more popular than its predecessor. I can't remember. It's been a while since we've seen numbers, but I seem to remember it never really outsold its its first game, you know. Yeah. So the
it might be more popular now.
You can, I mean, something I've seen done is you rebrand your MMO as 2. I think Neocron did that. Neocron 2, as it's now known. There is no Neocron 1 anymore, but it's the same game. They just changed the name during an expansion. So, I don't know. I mean, a game can become its own sequel, I suppose, but I think you're going to have to... The only way a sequel will work properly is if you give everyone free access to the new thing that's already playing the first one.
Yeah.
Then you can think about shutting down the first one, because everyone's got a slightly changed service, but a continuation of their service anyway. It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
Generally, sequel's a bad idea, though. Keep building on what you've already got.
Yep. And that's it for the Twitter question.
Right, okay. What did you learn this week?
I learnt that I really don't care about football.
I learnt all sorts of fantastic things about Windows Presentation Framework and doing 3D stuff in Windows and stuff. I turned into a programmer at work. It's almost distressing.
Yeah, please stop that.
With that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Oh, hang on 1 minute. I got to do my loud noise.
Anytime you put my top four mine as well. Yes, folks, this is the organised show.
Oh, yeah. Can't do this without caffeine. I fall asleep listening to the sound of my own voice.
Imagine what it's like for me.
I always admire your fortitude. Right. What do I say?